A very good evening to you. Welcome along to another Sweet and Swing here on Manx Radio. My name's Howard Kane. As always, a great pleasure to have your company. What have we got? Well, a little bit of the music of Irving Berlin by some American dance bands. I'm not going to tell you which one. The old whisperer himself, Roy Fox. Andre Preview, not had him on in a while. More of those dance band themes you'd have a guess at. A request, almost. However, I have to say as we start off, I am feeling a little hot and anxious. Told you. Hot and anxious. Well, not too bad. You're always a bit hot and anxious when you come back from holiday, though, aren't you? And yes, I've been away for a few weeks and you come back and you think, oh, Lord, all these things that you've forgotten or not done or have to catch up on. And, well, you know the problem. You feel like you need another holiday to get over getting over the holiday, if that makes sense. Anyway, I trust you are all well and have been surviving this interminable winter. And now that we're in spring, yep, it's still winter, or so it seems today. It's been pretty breezy the last 24, 48 hours, hasn't it? And, yeah, a few wintry showers and, oh, yes, I know. Someone was saying the other day they had a friend who was showing pictures from last March where it was gorgeous and it was really warm. I don't remember that, but it was really nice. And the March before that, it was snowing. March is one of those fickle months, isn't it? Anyway, hot and anxious, Fletcher Henderson, of course. American pianist, bandleader, arranger, composer, seen as quite up there in the development of swing and big band, and one of the most prolific black musical arrangers, along with the Duke himself, and had great influence, I think, on the music that followed him, within his music, sort of bridging the gap between the earlier Dixieland and the swing eras. He was often known, which I didn't know when I was having a quick Google round, his nickname, and I must admit I had not come across this before, or if I had, I'd forgotten it, was Smack Henderson. Now then, if you know your jazz, you know, unfortunately, the predilection that jazzers have had over the years for booze and drugs. No shortage of that, whether it's in the 20s, 30s, 40s, maybe not quite so much now, thank the Lord. But yes, we all know there's been quite a strong link between jazz and over-imbibing on the things like alcohol and drug-taking, I'm afraid. However, I'm glad to say, with Smack, it wasn't because he actually took heroin or anything else unpleasant. It apparently was because of the smacking sound he made with his lips. Well, yeah, we can go with that one. Smack Henderson, what a thought. Born over in Georgia and raised in a sort of middle-class African-American family. But originally, wasn't going to be a musician. He was a bright lad, and he was dedicated himself to mathematics and science. But then sort of moved, I think, to Atlanta and changed his name to Fletcher, giving up his original name of, or at least, I think Fletcher was his middle name. He was James Fletcher, and he was originally James, and then when he moved, he decided to turn himself into a Fletcher. And that's the way he stayed. Quite right, too. But he was going to do, like I said, science originally. He was going to New York. He was going to do a master's in chemistry. He was a bright man, but he didn't actually enroll in that and shared an apartment with a pianist who worked on a riverboat. And when his roommate was too sick to perform, Henderson said, well, I'll step in for you, I'll dip for you. And that soon led to a job as a full-time replacement. And, well, the rest, as they say, is history. He got the bug then and turned his attention to music full-time rather than science. But he clearly was a very bright man and could have been Fletcher Henderson, Dr. Henderson, or a scientist, or a maths teacher, or an academic. Who knows? Often the case with these people, aren't they? Usually multi-talented, it has to be said. Which is more than I am. We'll give you a quiz on the big band themes, or slightly more obscure ones, a little bit later on, why not? And Father Sean's been in contact again. Hello to you, Father Sean, and a lovely little letter from him. So we'll have a, read that out, and we'll play a little something that Father Sean remembers as well, which I don't think I've played on the show for some time. Father Sean remembers the old maestro playing it, so if it was good enough for him, it's good enough for me. That's all I can say.
Girls, I have a secret. If you listen, I will tell. It's so romantic. Met a charming gentleman, and honest, he's so swell. I'm almost frantic. Beautiful eyes. He had such beautiful eyes. He told such beautiful lies. He had me hypnotized, mesmerized, beautiful eyes. He never seemed to get wise. He called me such pretty things. Then he pawned all my rings. But he had such beautiful eyes. Proves untrue. They're all deceiving. All the foolish things you did will then come back to you. Your heart is grieving. Beautiful lies. Oh, we had such beautiful lies. I never did realize someday he'd disappear. Leave me here, beautiful eyes. He left me so many sighs. And like they say in the Greek, he had plenty of cheek, but he had such beautiful eyes. Such a good friend. All my money he'd spend, but he had such beautiful eyes.
Ah, wonderful stuff. Puts you in the mood and makes you think of warmer climes, doesn't it? Exotic foreign parts, warm weather, a glass of punch or a tequila or something along those lines, maybe a bit Caribbean, somewhere along those. Yeah, are you thinking that? Are those the thoughts you've got in your head? Roberto Inglés. Well, yes, the music and the name conjures up, I think, all of those. Certainly does for me. But, well, yes. Sadly, that's not the right word. Unfair. Slightly, curiously, should we say. Roberto Inglés was actually Bob Ingle from Scotland. Yeah, not known so much for its tropical weather and rum punches, really, as for whiskey and a walk in the rain. But a stint on the piano with Edmundo Ross, of course, who was a great champion of Latin music, as we know. And, old Bob Ingle played the piano with Edmundo at one stage, and he got a bit inspired by the whole Latin theme and the Latin vibe, changed his name from Bob Ingle to Roberto Inglés. And, love it, really. And, changed his name, and he fronted the relief band at the Savoy Hotel and became so popular and associated with Latin American numbers that he had quite a career out of it, including that great one there, Tico Tico. And he was so good, he was eventually invited to tour South America. Oh, dear. He liked it so much in South America that he ended up staying there. And instead of ending his days or starting his days in Scotland as Bob Ingle, and he ended his days in Chile as Roberto Inglés. You couldn't make it up, could you? I do love it. Good luck to him. Terrific. Yeah. Well, he was good. He was good, wasn't he? I'm really enjoying that. And before that, what do we have? Una May Carlisle. Another sort of forgotten name, unjustly so, as you probably gathered from that. A wonderful voice, wonderful artist as well. A protege of Fats Waller. And singing beautifully as well. Fats sang, of course, whether you call it beautiful or not, but wonderful singing. I love Fats' singing. But in that particular case, Una May Carlisle, supported with Lester Young. And also Clyde Hart on piano and the muted trumpet of Shad Collins. Very nice indeed. Now then, I mentioned Father Sean. Hello to you, Father Sean, if you are listening. And a nice email from him recently saying, hi, thanks for a mention recently. I hadn't heard Anne Sheldon's Maybe before. Yes, we had that on a few weeks ago. It was great, wasn't it? There was a video on YouTube of Perry Como and Eddie Fisher singing it on Perry's TV show back in the black and white days. Ah, yes. I don't remember the Perry Como show in black and white, but I was certainly brought up on Perry Como to a degree, particularly, as you'll probably gather by now, around Christmas. If Christmas isn't Christmas, I haven't heard a bit of Perry here and there. Also, he says, done by the Ink Spots. My mum used to talk about them a lot. YouTube has brought back so many stars from those days. You're right. I mean, there's an awful lot of, you know, cats playing with wool and people doing very strange things, seeing how many pints of milk they can drink in a minute or whatever rubbish. However, there's also, if you go searching and avoid all the jetsam, shall we say, or flotsam, there's also some really, really good stuff knocking around as well. And particularly, as you say, stuff that you might not otherwise be able to access that easily. These artists we love here on Sweet and Swing, loads of it. Whether it's just people playing an old 78, or whether it's actually old videos or old TV programmes, wonderful if you go looking around. My dad, goes on Father Sean, was a big fan of Jimmy Shand and used to listen to him on BBC Scotland. Yeah, he used to do the Hogmanay show, I think, as well, didn't he, on New Year's Eve? Part of the Home Service in those days. In the light of all the rain we've been having this year, he says it might be time to give a spin to Garden in the Rain with its promise of sunshine. Amen to that. I first heard this song when the maestro played George Mataxa's version. Gene Austin has one of the earliest versions. John McCormack also recorded it. Yes, he did. As did Perry some years later, though without the verse. And Carol Gibbons, who the maestro often played, as you do. Yeah, I know. We both like him. Wrote the music. But then the sun came out again, as James Derenforth's lyrics says. So there's always hope for the best wishes. There is indeed always hope. And as I look out the window today, Father Sean, and it is very windy and it's grey and it's wet, and you think, oh Lordy, there is always hope. Spring is around the corner. Hope springs eternal. I'm not going to improve any on what the old maestro did, so let's hear George Mataxa's version. I actually prefer it to Perry's, I have to say. A Garden in the Rain, with those thoughts of hope and better things to come.
recall a summer's day when you and I had strolled away, and suddenly a storm drew nigh. Seeking shelter from the rain, we strolled along a little lane, and saw a lovely sight nearby.
Spring is just around the corner, we hope, and yes, what's the other great phrase they say again? Whenever there's something really bad going on, something really good will come out of it eventually. All those thoughts, keep them in mind. I struggle sometimes, I confess. As my memsahib will tell you, I am not the best at always keeping a smile on my face. And as is always the case, who's the person you take the things out on? Your bad tempers and all your grumps, who do you take it out on the most? Well, of course, those closest to you, your nearest and dearest, your wives, husbands, girlfriends, boyfriends, mothers, dads, fathers, sisters, etc. It's always the way. They take the brunt, don't they? Which is totally unfair, but there we go. No one ever said life was going to be fair. Thank you for that suggestion, Father Sean. Keep smiling, everyone. And, of course, if you've got something you'd like to hear or any thoughts you could put down and just want to email in, please do. Always delighted to hear from you. And something you'd like to hear, or maybe something we could feature, or something you haven't heard for a while, a favourite, etc., etc., let me know. Howard Kane, that's with an E, C-A-I-N-E, at manxradio.com. Or, if you prefer, pen to paper, card, letter, Basildon Bond, whatever you've got. Howard Kane, Sweet and Swing, Manx Radio, Broadcasting House, Douglas Head, which is Douglas, funnily enough, in the Isle of Man, that's the important bit, not Jersey or Guernsey, the Isle of Man. And the code is IM15B for Bertie, W for whiskey. Or is that Bravo whiskey, I think, if we're being accurate about it. Now then, sit back, kick your slippers off, pour yourself something nice. It's getting much too late. Here's a lovely, long, slow one from the ever-wonderful André Previn. Thank you.
How about that for great late night slow blues? Wonderful stuff. Couldn't go great deal slower. I don't know. It's just beautiful, but it just doesn't feel like it's dragging. It just floats along gorgeously, and it's just happily called Much Too Late. The André Previn Trio. André, of course, well, yes, you'll know the name, world famous in latter years for all his classical work. But again, he was one of those ones. They do crop up from time to time in jazz and in other music. I'm thinking maybe Wynton Marsalis of late, or Keith Jarrett in more modern times, who have crossed the border between jazz and classical and have had very successful careers in both. In André, it seemed to be almost sort of when he was a young man, he was better known for his jazz, and then in later years, he was known for his classical work. Brilliant at both. And there he was with his trio in 1958, André on piano, Red Mitchell bass, Frankie Capp at the drums. And a lovely sort of note in the liner notes about how that one came about. And it says they're the most impressive example on the record so far of the quality of the blues the Previn Trio can play is Much Too Late. It came into being one closing night at Fax 2 in San Francisco. I'd actually heard of that, F-A-C-K-S, Facts, but obviously a jazz club in the San Francisco area in the 1950s and 60s. I must look it up. Don't think it's still there. A group of musicians, he goes on, including Ella Fitzgerald and Lou Levy, arrived for this late set. And since they were about the only people in the place, Previn didn't feel that he had to end the set with a flag waver. He began this blues 10 minutes before the closing hour of 2 a.m, that is, in the morning. That's a proper jazz club. We were terribly tired, says André. We hadn't been to bed all the previous night and started to play some terribly slow blues, and we all got involved in it. When we finished, Bobby Brookmeyer, the valve trombone player who was also there, good crowd in, wasn't there, looked at his watch and said, "You fellows have been playing that for 28 minutes. The one we've heard wasn't 28 minutes, by the way. That was about 9 minutes. Ever since then, André says, we've tried to duplicate the experience because it's one of those very happy and rare circumstances where we all felt the same way. It happens every so often. Just get into a groove and it just becomes telepathic. Everyone's just floating along and everyone's on the same wavelength, and you don't need to say anything or do anything. It just sort of happens. But yeah, the beauty of jazz, as they say. Hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Right, we'll go to a trio to a big band, and we've been looking at some of the themes of the big bands, just for a bit of fun, and they're all great tunes, obviously. That's why they were chosen as themes, I suppose. I don't think we did one last week, because I've been away for a couple of weeks. So, according to my notes, the last one we had was about the 13th. Let's take a look. Hang on, we'll go back and take a look there. So, doody-doody-doo. Yeah, there we go. 13th of February it might have been. Goodness me, before Valentine's Day, and I don't think we did one the week after that because I was away and we had to pre-record some things. So, if you've got a very good memory, you might remember the last one was a track called Racing with the Moon, and it was the theme of Vaughan Munro. Vaughan Munro, not a name that's well known. So I'll give you a much easier one, this one, seeing as I've been flying back. Little clue there. Great tune, great band, great band leader. But whose theme was this?
Thank you.
Ah, great stuff, rocketing along there. Or should I say, flying along? Oh, another little clue, yes. Was it difficult, that one? I don't know. I'm not going to tell you now, I'll tell you next week. A theme tune of a well-known band leader. And it might have something to do with sort of flying, maybe. That's it, I'm going to leave it there, see if you can get that one. Hopefully not too difficult. For the meantime, though, we are going to go straight on, because I promised you a bit of the old Whisperer himself, Roy Fox, the American who came over and made it great on this side of the pond, and also played here at the Isle of Man. There's a great picture in one of the books I've got knocking round, which I rescued from the old maestro, of Roy Fox playing, I think, in the old palace, or one of the big ballrooms. It would be the palace, wouldn't it, I think, in 1938, 1940. It was absolutely rammed. I mean, how people danced on the dance floor, I don't know. I mean, because they were doing, you know, they'd be doing foxtrot and quickstep and such like, not boogieing as in disco style. They were doing proper dancing. Whether they could move or not was another kettle of fish. There were thousands there, literally thousands of people. Incredibly popular. And so we thought, yeah, we haven't had the old Whisperer himself on, Roy Fox, for some time. So there's some great selections on this one. Maybe we'll go for his signature tune and intro, Whispering, and then put on your old grey bonnet.
Hello, everybody. Roy Fox speaking. Mary Lee, Denny Dennis, and all the boys are here with me to give you gay morning music.
With the blue ribbons on it, I'll hitch. Oh,
gentlemen. This is Roy Fox and his band in the Records program. That first tune was Put On Your Old Grey Bonnet.
It certainly was. At a fair old lick as well. Roy Fox arrived in England from the States in 1930 with a small American band, and originally he was just over for an 8-week appearance at the then newly opened Café de Paris in London. In the event, he ended up making his home in the UK, leading British musicians at many of the top venues at the time in London and around the home counties. He was born in Colorado in 1901 and he got his whispering title because he was once complimented on his very quiet playing by a stranger who sort of came up and said, oh, I like it. It's a really quiet style you've got. You later find out the stranger was in fact the world-famous violinist Jasch Heifetz, who suggested it sounded more like his own instrument, i.e. the violin, than a trumpet. And Roy sort of took this as a compliment, really perfected this soft whispering style and became known as America's whispering cornetist, an epithet he carried on for the rest of his life then. He was very successful in the UK originally, but then was taken ill because they work incredibly long hours sometimes. He was at the Monseigneur restaurant and his place was taken over by the pianist and arranger Lou Stone. Fox went over to Switzerland to recuperate, as he did in those days, I think. It seemed a bit of a sort of a spa, wasn't it, I guess? And when he returned, he parted company with the restaurant, who was unhappy that he was also appearing, i.e. they didn't have him exclusively because he was at the London Palladium at the same time his band were playing to their customers without him at the front. Well, you can see their point, I suppose, from that point of view. Here's the Roy Fox Band. Roy's not actually here, but the boys will play for you in any case. And then he opened a new band at the Café Anglais, the Café de Paris to Café Anglais. And then 1935 appeared at a Royal Command performance. Made dozens and dozens of records. Also appeared, which you can probably find on YouTube, getting back to our early chat when we were talking with about Father Sean's comments. And I'm sure you'll find these on YouTube if you go looking around. Three films he appeared in: A Night Like This, On the Air, and The Radio Pirates. And appeared on Radio Luxembourg and Radio Normandy in programmes sponsored by, wait for it, Reckitt's Bath Cubes. That's Reckitt's as in Reckitt's and Coleman, I believe. Yeah, not too bad, eh? Now here's something I'm thinking just about now. Let's have another cup of coffee.
Another cup of coffee, let's have another piece of pie. Trouble's just a bubble, and the clouds will soon roll by. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Let a smile be your umbrella, for it's just an April shower. Even John D. Rockefeller is looking for the silver lining. Mr. Herbert Hoover says that now's the time to buy. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Thank you.
mentioned Lou Stone before. So here he is, Aunt Hagar's Blues. Aunt Hagar's Blues, Lou Stone, who we were mentioning earlier on. I saw him in the bag. I thought, well, why not? We'll finish off with a little bit of Lou Stone. Lou, born Louis Steinberg in Bethnal Green in 1898, came from a Jewish refugee family from Eastern Europe who changed their name after the First World War, which sadly claimed the lives of two of Lou's three brothers. And originally started out again, didn't start out as a musician, he wanted to be a footballer. Initially liked playing football, preferred that to playing a piano while a youngster, but then turned into one of the finest dance band arrangers of his generation. Al Boley, of course, sang with him for a while, and then after Al left, well, then he replaced him with Alan Kane. Yeah, he wasn't too bad either, was he? As a singer, it has to be said. Al had gone to America, of course. And most of Lou's band stayed extremely loyal to him, though. Joe Crossman played with him for 36 years. And his wife, Joyce, well, he met her when he was playing for her 21st birthday party. That's romantic, isn't it? And he was another one of those ones that carried on playing right throughout the wartime. And there's a story saying on one occasion he witnessed some airmen leaving early. And he was wondering why. One of them was Guy Gibson, en route to the Dambusters raid in Germany. That's history for you, isn't it? That's about it for now. Hope you enjoyed it. A couple of weeks' time, same place. See you then. Cheerio.